out, if my father's going to do anything to you, I will let you know because I'm not going to let anything happen to you. And David said, Saul, your father is hiding it from you. And so, Jonathan, your dad's not letting you know what's going on. So David understands that the feast of the new moon, which means at the beginning of the month, that he was going to have to sit at the table with Saul and the others. And he knew that Saul was going to kill him. And he was trying to convince Jonathan that that's what the case was. And so he makes a plan. He says, if you'll let me skip out on that meal, depending on how your father reacts, will determine whether or not you're right or I'm right. Either he doesn't want to kill me or he does want to kill me. It'll come out if I'm not there. Look at verse number 18. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow's a new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone easel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. Yeah, so David hid himself in the field, and when Newman was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. Now, verse 25 down through verse number 32, David does not show up in his seat. Saul does get angry, gets so angry that he throws a javelin at Jonathan, his own son, because of David not being there, because he wanted to kill him. So obviously, Jonathan wants to send David away. If you're with me, say amen now. He wants to send him away. Now look back in verse number 33. Verse 33 it says, and Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David rose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself 3 times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace. For as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Now, young people, quickly, let me kind of go over the story with you and give you the thought tonight. I want to illustrate what Jonathan was doing for David. Saul was the enemy of David. The Bible says that he became the enemy of David continually. Saul was envious and jealous of David, and so he wanted to kill David. Jonathan and David were friends. In this story, the picture here is Saul is the enemy. The picture here is Jonathan is going to picture God the Father. The lad is going to be the picture of what God uses in our life in order to be able to teach us, to show us, to direct us. Now, I want you to kind of illustrate this. I'm going to need a lad here. Have I used you already? All right, why don't you come up here, then we'll let you be the lad. Why are these guys so tall around here? Is there anybody shorter than him? Are you short? Can you help me out? Yeah, you're short. Would you please stand up? No, okay, you are. All right. I'm sorry, but I need somebody a little shorty. I need somebody who looks like a lad. I'd like to have people that's shorter than me to be lads, all right? And so we'll let him be the lad, all right? Now, I'll tell you what, though. We'll let you be David. That'd be all right? We're going to let you be David. And let's see here. Boy, you all are so tall. Man, I'm living. Is he short? Stand up. What do they feed these guys around here? All right, we're going to pretend that he's Jonathan for just a moment, all right? All right, now you have a seat for just a minute. I'm going to use you in just a second. So what happens is this. You guys, here, hold those arrows. These two fellas, this is going to be Jonathan, this is going to be David. Now, the Bible says they loved one another. You guys know each other?
We're brothers.
You're brothers. I was wondering why they're both so ugly. Anyway, now, this is Jonathan, this is David, all right? They had a relationship with one another, right? They were friends. They're the prime example of a story of having friends in the Bible. Well, obviously Saul wanted to kill David, and Jonathan didn't want that to happen. So they have this meeting of the minds, and they say, listen, I'm not going to let that happen to you. I'm going to spare you, but this is what you're going to do. I'm going to go to that meal without you, and you're going to hide yourself in the field over there. On the third day, I'm going to come out here, and I'm going to have a lad with me, and I'm going to shoot some arrows. If I shoot the arrows short, and I tell him it's on this side of him, you just come on up, and everything is fine. If I shoot that arrow beyond him, that means you better get out of here because my father really does want to kill you. All right, so he goes on. Just go over there on the stairs on the other side of him and just have a seat for just a moment. All right, now, Jonathan goes in and he has that meal with his father, and his father gets so mad. I'm sorry. Hey, can you sit right there? You go. Thank you very much. All right. Jonathan goes in and has that meal, and his father gets so mad at him because he thinks that Jonathan's hiding David, which he was. And so what happens is he throws the spear at him. Jonathan leaves the table because he was grieved that his father shamed David, his friend. David didn't do anything wrong. Now, here's the thought I want you to see tonight, and that's simply this. Let me grab this arrow for a moment, or this bow here. What had happened was, is when Jonathan came back out, he had his lad with him. All right, lad, come up here for just a moment here. And the Bible says, can you hold all two of those? I'll take one of them. You know, I don't think I've ever shot one of these before. This is how this goes. I better not try that. All right. So he shoots the arrow. And he sends his lad. And he says, hey, go get my arrow. And when he gets about to where the arrow is, he says, no, it's beyond there. Go farther. And then he shoots. Of course, he shoots all three of the arrows. Son, watch me. I don't want to hit you, okay? So he sends another arrow. And he says, hey, it's a little farther. And he shoots another arrow. And he goes a little farther. And he says, hey, it's a little farther. Now, David is sitting over there listening to what Jonathan is saying. And he understands by the message and by that lad that what he needs to do is that his father is mad and he does want to kill him. And now Jonathan comes up, or David, I mean, David, you go ahead and, no, I'm sorry, the lad comes back first. Lad comes back and he gathers the arrows together. Good job. Is there three of them? Okay, grabs the last one. And he grabs them. And then the Bible says that Jonathan gave the artillery to the lad and said, hey, listen, you can go on back into the wherever you came from, all right? And so, no, I need you up here if you don't mind. Stay up here for a second. And then David comes, because David was watching the lad, all right? And then David comes, and he bows himself three times. What's your name?
Zachariah.
Say again?
Zachariah.
Zachariah?
Yes, sir.
Great. How old are you, Zachariah?
12.
Good. Amen. How old's your brother?
15. Oh.
What's your brother's name?
Andrew.
Do you always laugh when you say his name? Two loving brothers, all right? Now, and so anyway, when David comes back to Jonathan, they understand that David's going to have to go ahead and run for his life in Jonathan. Now, you've got the story in your mind. Here's the thought I want you to see. Now, leave the artillery there and come here for just a second here, all right? Now, here's the key. You go back over and sit down for a moment here. I want to deal with the lad for just a moment here. The lad is mentioned 12 times in this one chapter. Between Jonathan and David, the idea was that he would come back out and he would have a lad with him. That lad was supposed to be watched by David. David was supposed to see what the lad did. He was supposed to listen to what Jonathan said, but he was also supposed to watch what the lad was going to do. Now, young people, here's what I want you to catch tonight is this, is that God the Father is going to send people into your life on a regular basis, every day of your life. God's going to send people in your life, and I want to tell you something, you need to watch the lad. You need to be attentive to the ones. Jonathan is a picture of God the Father. David is the one trying to get direction in his life, whether he could stay or come. And that direction came from watching this lad. David, when you see this lad come out, it's going to be your indication whether or not you need to run for your life or whether you need to come on back home. Because Jonathan said, I'm going to use the lad to tell you what you need to do. Now, can I tell you, God's going to bring people into your life. Tonight was not an accident that Brother Hall got up and spoke to you about college. I want to tell you something. Some of you are thinking, because a crowd this size, you're thinking, I don't need college. And I want to tell you something. God allowed Brother Hall to get up to remind you, you do need college. And I want to tell you something. It's in my opinion that you need to go to college for a year. And I know that you've got parents, and I know you've got a pastor, and you need to listen to them. But you heard enough how much 1 year of Bible college could change your life, and you need 1 year of Bible college. It will cause you to grow up. It'll cause you to get in your Bible. It'll cause you to do things you've never done before. It'll cause you to put you under preaching. It'll cause you to make decisions. Hey, how many people have made the decision to serve God full-time in that first year of Bible college? When I graduated from high school, I didn't know what I was supposed to do in life. I just knew. I knew one day I'd probably go into full-time service of some sort, but I really wasn't surrendered to it. Went to Bible college my first year. In April of that year, a preacher got up to preach. Actually, Pastor Evangelist at the time, Brother Schuller preached, and during that one service in April of my second semester, that was the time in my life that I surrendered to full-time Christian service no matter what God wanted for my life. Now, he didn't call me to pastor then, just full-time Christian service. And then I became a school teacher, did that for 5 years, and then God called me to pastor. And then 6 months later, a church called me to be their preacher. I've been there ever since. Now, I want to tell you something. That first year of Bible college is not going to be by accident. Listening to Brother Hall tonight is not an accident. What college you go to will not be an accident. You know why? Because there will be lads there. Hey, those lads will be in the form of the preacher behind the pulpit. Those lads will be the form of the teacher that's standing in the classroom. That lad could be your parents at home. That lad could be your youth director. That lad can be a Sunday school teacher. That lad can be a lost employer. You understand that God's going to use people in your life on a regular basis. Now, first thing I understand is very, very interesting is in verse number 38, I think also in verse number 41, it mentions that it was Jonathan's lad. It says his lad. Can I tell you something? That Jonathan, it was a personal pronoun. This belonged to him. Can I tell you that the people God's going to use to influence your life are God's? It was the Bible saying in Proverbs 21, verse number 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water returneth whithersoever he will. It's not by accident the person that you go to school with. It's not by accident what church you go to. It's not by accident what family you're landing in. Do you understand? God has particular people in your life. Hey, you need to open up your eyes like David when he was looking for direction in his life. He had his eyes upon the lad. That lad is not named. He's unnamed. He didn't know what he was doing. He was just being used by Jonathan. And can I tell you something? There are a host of people that God has in your life that He's using. It's under God's control. It's under His manipulation. It's under His direction. And He's trying to give you some direction. He's trying to show you what you need to do and where you need to go. And you know what? If you're not careful and you're not spiritually tuned into what God wants, you're going to miss the lad. It's going to be standing right in front of you, and you will miss God's direction in your life. These are His servants. It's interesting, the book of Jeremiah, when God's referring to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was a lost heathen king, and God said, that's my servant. When Necho was going to go against the Assyrians, and I believe it was Josiah, put his nose where it didn't belong, that lost king, Necho, king of Egypt, was being used of God. You know, God's going to use people in your life to give you direction, but it's all of God. I want to tell you something. You might not like your parent, but I hate to tell you this. It's probably a lad in your life. You might not like your youth director. You might say, well, my youth director's a geek. I want to tell you something. It's a God-given geek. You might say, I don't like my pastor. He's too old. It's a God-given pastor. Jeremiah 3:15, and He shall give you pastors that will feed you after His own heart, knowledge and understanding. You have to understand that every person that God's placed in your life was not of your doing, it was of His doing. I want to tell you something, how many's ever sit in a high school class before and the teacher you had was as boring as a box of rocks? Don't raise your hand too high. I want to tell you something, we all going to have those. I was in college, my freshman year of college. I won't use his name, just kidding. I think he's still alive. He was about to die when he was teaching in my class. Boring. You know. He could teach the lesson. If the whole class walked out, he wouldn't know it. He'd still be teaching. Just boring. But you know what? God had a purpose for that man's life. You know, if it did anything else in my life, I determined I was not going to be like that. What you fail to understand is the very people that you don't like because of their personality, the way they dress, the way they treat you, or maybe the pressure of keeping the rules, the very person you don't like is the very lad that God's sending into your life. And I want to tell you something. David would not have known what to do if he would not have had a lad to watch to give him direction. And the lad belonged to Jonathan. Do you understand? Every person that's influencing your life belongs to God Almighty, and He uses them in your life. You ought to be attentive to what God's trying to tell you. You got a mom and dad that says, hey, listen, I want you to get up in the morning. I want you to make your bed. I want you to do your chores. I want you to be ready at a certain time. And all you think is that you just see mom and dad. What you fail to see is that's God's direction in your life right now. You're not out on your own. How many of you here like to make puzzles? You like to do puzzles? Any of you like to do puzzles? Puzzles takes patience. There's a few of you over here. A few over here. I'm not a puzzle person. It takes too much patience to sit down and figure out a puzzle. You know, how many of you like to do those 1,000-piece puzzles? Raise your hand up high so we can see who the retarded ones are in here. Those 1,000-piece puzzles. I have a hard time doing the 25, you know, the big pieces. But you know, if you get a puzzle and you're missing just a couple pieces, it ruins the whole puzzle. You get the whole thing done and there's a couple pieces missing, you think, man alive, oh, what happened? And you know, what the problem is? Your life, God sees the big picture, and He sees every piece of the puzzle, and part of those pieces are called people. And God brings people into your life, and if you're not careful, you're going to miss the very direction you need for your life. Because you know what? You're throwing this piece of the puzzle away, you're throwing this piece of the puzzle away, you're throwing this piece of the puzzle away, and the big picture you're going to miss out on. You're going to miss out on. Grandma, my grandmother, Grandma Hanks, used to sit on the couch. Phyllis, I'm sorry, I'm going to use you in a second, but could you have a seat if you don't mind? Anywhere close by. Grandma Hanks used to sit on the couch as a little boy. She used to do that needlework. She had that wooden hoop around and tightened the cloth. You know what I'm talking about? Was that called needlework? And she'd do that. Is that what it's called? Cross stitch? Okay. So, that came from Brother Hall. Cross stitch. They were telling me today that during that, what's that bowl called? AccuBowl? Academic Bowl? Is that what it's called? Big word. Who said that? Sorry. Brother Graham, you're in trouble. They told me in that Academic Bowl that they had a question on sewing. They had three girls and a guy and four girls. And am I correct on that? And none of the girls knew the answer to the sewing question except that guy. I want to know who the guy is. Come on, who is it? Stand up, please. You're going to make somebody a good husband someday. Okay, you're fine with it. So, anyway, Grandma was doing her cross-stitching. And I was a little boy, and I'd go down. I was just barely made up to her knees. And, you know, of course, from the bottom, it looks like spaghetti. I mean, you can't see what the picture is except from the top. And I was going by, and I remember one day I come to Grandma and said, Grandma, what are you doing? And Grandma says, this is what I'm doing. And she turned the thing around. She had a beautiful picture on this side of it. And she's the only one that could see it because, man, she always had it down like this. And you know what, that's what life is. You know, from down here, look it up, everything looks like spaghetti. Why is this going wrong? Why is this going wrong? How come I can't do this? How come they're keeping me from doing this? It just doesn't seem like nothing. But the problem is you can't see the big picture. And God's up in heaven putting your life together one stitch at a time. Because you don't like what's going on from underneath, and yet God sees what's going on from above, you're going to miss out what God wants for your life. It's not a matter of you not liking the rules. It's not a matter of you not liking your parents. I want to tell you what it's a matter of. It's a matter of you're not looking at the lad. You've got to keep your eyes on the lad that God brings into your life. Young people, I'll tell you what, I don't know if the Lord's let me hit it in the morning or not, but I'm going to tell you this thing about about the pastor that God's given you. You can't get around the book of Ephesians 4 when it says the pastor's gift to the church. Northwest, you over here, I like your spirit. I think it's nice that you applaud and you go the ooh and the ah and, you know, be excited about your group. But you know what? Pastor Gomez is the pastor for you. Now, I want to tell you something. Pastor Gomez is different. I had lunch with him today. He's a different man. I'm not going anywhere with that, okay? But I think we're all in agreement. He's different. But you know what? God knew that you needed him. I want to tell you something. Brother Graham, I don't know him. He seems like a very happy-go-lucky, easy-to-get-along type fella. Not so? Not so? Amen. Now, can I tell you, who's from Brother Graham's church? Raise your hand. Are you related to him? You're his daughter? Well, you ought to be happy you're his daughter, man. That's good. Did you know Brother Graham's the man for your church? Which means he's the man for you. Which means God knew that you didn't need a Brother Gomez. He knew that you needed Brother Graham. You know, what happens is this, is we get to the place that we do not like the person that God placed in our life, whether it's a pastor, a parent, or whatever it is, and we think to ourselves, listen, I don't like what I see, and most of the time it's personality. But what you fail to realize is that God knows you inside and out, and He put the exact man in your life. How many of you are from Faith Baptist Church right here? Raise your hand. You're from Faith Baptist Church right here. Wow, they're all over here. All right? They put your hands down. I want to tell you something. When a person goes to camp and they hear Brother Angel preach, everybody's wowed. You know what? God's hands on him. God's used him in an unbelievable way. All right? But I want to tell you something. Those kids that go to camp, they go back home. And their pastor's not Brother Angel. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. God knew you needed Brother Angel. God knew that you were so unspiritual, you needed Brother Angel. You all understand what I'm trying to say is if you're not careful, you're going to miss your lad. And here's the thing. The lad is God's lad. Jonathan said, I'm sending my lad out there to give you direction, David. And here's something else I want you to think about. Not only, I need to show you the verses on this. Look back at your Bible for just a moment here. Not only was it Jonathan's lad, I want you to look at verse number 19. Verse 19 says this, and when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come up to the place. Now notice that he says, to the place. To the place. Now, quickly, let me just quickly say this. Stand back up for a second here, lad. Jonathan, come back over for a second here. Jonathan told David to be by the rock Ezel. E-Z-E-L. So there in your Bible. He says, be by the rock Ezel because that's where I'm going to send the lad. Now, young people, can I tell you something? Not only was the lad Jonathan's lad, but number two, there was a direct or particular place that David had to be in order to see that lad. Young people, do you know how many people get out of the will of God because they get out of the geographical will of God for their life? Where you're planted is God's will for your life. Stop trying to go somewhere else. Brother Hall, I tell you, when he talked about college, he could have got up and been very dogmatic. You need to be a Providence, but he didn't do that. He wants you in the will of God. And you know what's unique about that is God has a particular will where you're supposed to be. You want to make sure that you're in God's will for your life. If David would not have been by the rock Ezel, he'd have never seen the lad. Well, can you imagine on the third day, David said, you know, it's not very comfortable by this rock. I think I'll go find me a hut. I think I'll go find me a tent. I think I'll go somewhere. You know what? He'd have missed that lad. What was going to happen if he missed that lad? It was what was going to tell him whether he could come back or not. It was a matter of death or life. If he came back, Saul was going to kill him. Young people, do you know how many people miss God's will for their life because they're not where they're supposed to be? Brother Schwager that was up here a second ago? Brother Schwager made a few statements a moment ago about getting a job during the summertime. Young people, let's face the facts. You can make $200 anytime. You're not a bunch of dummies. You're Christian school kids. You're halfway intelligent. Halfway. Can I tell you something? The average employer wants you. You know why? Because you're honest. You know why? Because you show up on time. You know why? Because you don't have pins and needles coming off your face. You're not going to have a hard time getting a job because I'm going to tell you something. There's not as many Christians that take the jobs that are there. They got a bunch of losers taking their jobs. So you know what? You are going to have the rest of your life to work. And you will go up the ladder because of your Christianity, of having integrity and having a work ethic. So for you to have to work this summer, and I'm not going against your pastor, I'm not going against your parents, you do what they say. But I'm saying if you don't have to go get a job, this is your last opportunity. If you're graduating as a senior this year, this is your last opportunity to be involved in a camp. This is your last opportunity to go to a youth conference. This is your last opportunity to do some youthful things that you're not going to be able to do the rest of your life. And can I tell you something? It might be just that one youth conference, the geographical place at that particular time that you're going to miss and miss out on God's will is for your life. I'm happily married. You know I'm happily married? Because I married God's will for my life. My wife and I, when we first got married, didn't have any children. After 7.5 years of marriage, we decided to adopt. I came to my wife and said, you know, I don't know the Lord's going to give us any children, so we need to pray about this thing about adoption. 2 weeks later, a person from Texas calls me, was in our church one time passing through and said, Pastor Hanks, you don't know anybody in your church that would like to adopt a baby, would you? I said, yes, I think I do. And she said, my 16-year-old girl got pregnant out of wedlock, and she's either going to abort the baby or she can give it up for adoption. She said, I'll fly our daughter up there and have that baby in a hospital locally. And then we want to know if you'd have something. Of course, we told her, my wife and I adopted the baby, so we did. We were there when the child was born. I remember coming home from the hospital with the baby. We weren't able to have children for whatever reason. And we brought that baby in as excited as can be. After 12 years of marriage, the girl that got pregnant out of wedlock the first time got pregnant out of wedlock a second time by a different man. It's a Christian girl, by the way. The grandmother calls me again and says, listen, would you be interested in adopting my daughter's second child so the siblings are together? Now, by this time, she's 21 years of age because this was 5 years later. My wife and I have been married 12 years now, and my wife got expecting at the same time. So when we adopted our second one, 8 days later, my wife had one. Yeah. We had some fun stories with that one. It was like having twins, 8 days apart. But one's adopted, one's not. And I was tired of everybody asking twins. And I felt bad because, I don't like to lie. I'm not supposed to do that. But they say, so do you have twins there? And, you kind of say yes. Because you didn't want to say, well, this one's adopted, this one's birth. So finally I decided I'm not going to tell anybody anymore that the kids were adopted. So that first time I decided that, I walked into a grocery store, had both babies, and we come into the line. The lady says, ah, twins. And I said, I wouldn't lie anymore, so I just said, mm-hmm. And then she looked at him, and she said, which one's older? And I said, that one right there. And she said, by how much? Yeah. It was a long way, what can I tell you? God's given us 5 more birth children, so we have 7 now. We have 7 in our family. And I was told you the other day that 6 of the 7 are 7 and under. And I miss them. I wish I could bring them with me. But with the kids that young, I think our youngest is like a year old. But with the kids that young, my wife, she has to stay. What did I say? Well, I don't know. I can't keep track of those ages at all. I just know they're little. Amen. So my wife doesn't get to go with me very places. I mean, she stays at home. I wish she didn't. But you know what? I could not be here if it wasn't for my wife. I could not be here if it wasn't for my wife. I trust my wife. And again, there's so many qualities of my wife, and I love her very dearly. But you know what? I got the one for me. I want to tell you why. I was in the right place. Now, it gets really long, and it's long. Lives can be long stories, but the short end of it, I went to a Bible college for my first year of Bible college, and when I went there, I came home for the summer and hurt my leg. When I hurt my leg, I was not able to go back that second year, but it was the first Bible college that I went to is where I met my wife. My wife graduated from that college, but I never went back there. I went to another Bible college, and I finished my Bible college training elsewhere. But you know what? If I had never gone to that Bible college for that first year, I'd have never met my wife. I'd never married my wife. I was in the place for me to find God's will for my life. And David, if he would not have been by the rock Ezel, he would not have known from the lad where he was supposed to go. And young people, I want to tell you something. This thing about being in the geographical location of God's will for your life is really simple. It's called following God's general will for your life in order to find God's specific will for your life. Now, I want to tell you something. You're not going to hear this voice from heaven.
Go to college at such and such place.
I'm going to hear this voice from college.
Mary, Susie, nobody.
How you doing? You're not going to hear a voice from heaven.
Take such and such job.
It's not going to happen. You know how you find out what God's specific will is for your life? You can do God's general will. You know what God's general will is for your life? That's God's general will for your life. Read your Bible, go soul winning, go to church, give. I mean, it's all the spelled out stuff. But you know what? What the problem is some of you are not going to do God's general will, and if you don't do God's general will, you'll never find God's specific will for your life. So, first thing I see is that this lad was particularly Jonathan's lad. The second thing I see is that there was a particular place that David had to be in order to be able to see the lad. I want you to see something else here. Look at your Bible again. Not only that, third thing I see is about the time Look at verse number 35. Verse 35 says this. It says, and it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field. Here's the phrase. At the time appointed. At the time appointed. And people, I don't know if you know this, but your life is on schedule. You just don't know it's on schedule. Did you know the pilot's convention was on schedule for you? That's why you're here. No, I'm not talking about the schedule set up by the Faith Baptist Church. I'm talking about the schedule God's placed for your life. You know, you didn't have to be here. God could have made it so you didn't have to show up here. There was an appointed time of your life. Hey, young people, I hate to tell you this. Your time's going to go really fast. Really fast. How old are you? 14. Hey, how many of you are you're out of school? Just raise your hand. You're out of school. All right. How many say you got your hands up? How many say that once you got out of school, time seemed like it really took off? I mean, just flew. You know, the years go fast now. Hey, how many of you that are in school, it seems like time is an eternity? I mean, it just seems like it's forever. Back to school. Go to school. Do your schoolwork. Come home. Do your homework. Do the chores. Go back to church. Go back to school. Go back to church. Go back to home. Go back to school. You know, it doesn't seem like it just takes forever. Can I tell you something? Once school's over with, it goes fast. It goes fast. I used to tease people about being old. All the time. You know, you're 30. Ha, 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 ha. You're 40. Ah, you're going downhill. Yeah. I stopped teasing people. Because I'm one of them. You know, when you guys at your age, you think, man, like time just lasts forever. I'm going to tell you something. There's an appointed time for your life. And what you're doing is you've got to get a hold of this thing that time is very, very short. You know, people, you know one of the reasons why, you know one of the reasons I've got the material here? I believe very strongly in influencing people because my time is short. Remember the other night? Are you always? Y'all still with me? I know you're tired. I'm going to hurry. You remember the other night I told you about how my father passed away and is in this town, Bourbonnais? Mom's here tonight. But in Bourbonnais, in fact, Mom was with him in the car when he had that heart attack. My father died at age 58. My grandfather died at 57. Now, I know I don't know how long I live. I could die tomorrow. But if I follow generations, and if God allowed me to live to 60, I'm 41. And that tells me my time is short. And I know I could die tomorrow, but my time is short is what I'm trying to say. You know, people, I know you think that you got all the time in the world. You don't have all the time in the world. You've got right now to get running. Let's see here. Brother Hanson, do me a favor. Go to that back table and grab that book called Men and Women of Proverbs, an orange book. You know, it's a blue-bound book. It's on the table. Bring that to me real quick here. You know, young people, a lot of you, especially in this convention, you have got a lot more talent than you give yourself, and I'm glad that you give yourself credit for. But young people, can I tell you something right now? You all ought to be doing something right now that's going to influence people for the rest of your life. Young people, watch for just a second here. You see this book called Men and Women of Proverbs? I wrote that when I was 17. Nobody wanted it when I was 17. I'm 41. It's been translated into Cambodian. It's been translated into Spanish. It's really gone around the world. 27 different characters in the Bible. Men and women of Proverbs. The foolish man, the wise man, the simple man. All outlined actions, characteristics of Bible characters. I want to tell you something. 17 years of age, nobody wanted to read what a 17-year-old wrote. They do now. Can I tell you, sitting in this room right here are some young people that have a lot more education than I had when I was 17? Can I tell you, you've been taken to the limit in your education? I mean, this convention is not about sports, it's about academics. Now, you can just do what we just talked about and just be like every other person. Or you can decide, hey, listen, I'm going to do something for God and let God use me in some way, somehow. I never wrote one of these lessons to teach in a Sunday school. I never wrote one of these lessons to teach in a junior church. I never wrote one of these lessons for a bus ride. I wrote these for me. I want to tell you something. There's a lot brighter people in this room than this fella right here at age 17. And your time's ticking. And God's going to send people into your life at an appointed time. You don't want to miss that. I'm going to give you one last thing and I'm done. I want you to look at your Bible, so read it, and then we'll point this last thought out. Look at verse number 38. And Jonathan cried after the lad, "Make speed, haste, stay not." And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, "Go carry them into the city." And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David acceded. You can go ahead and be seated, lad. David, come over here for a second here. Can you picture what's going on here? David comes. He bows himself three times. The two of them are crying. Now, the reason they were crying is because Jonathan and David, they knew what the outcome meant. Watch for a second here. After they cry, after they've embraced, Jonathan gets to go back to the palace. He gets to still eat. He still gets to be near the tabernacle. He still gets to be as a prince in the land of Israel. Not so with David. David would now run as a fugitive. David would no longer be near the tabernacle where God met with people. David would no longer be able to sit in kingly robes. He'd run like an animal for a long period of his life while Saul hunted him as an animal. Yeah. Young people, here's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes that lad brings bad news. Sometimes that lad gives a direction that you really don't want. Now, hey, wait a second here. He'd eventually become king because that was part of the puzzle. I want to tell you something. Sometimes there's things in your life that you're not going to enjoy, you're not going to like. They're going to be very distasteful that God's going to bring into your life. But I want to tell you something. It's part of the bigger picture. Because he would have never been the king he needed to be if he had not been the fugitive first. Why do you have to sit in all those classes? Part of the puzzle. Why do you have to sit through all those services? Part of the puzzle. Why do you have to run in bus routes? Part of the puzzle. Why do you have to go soul winning all the time? It's part of the puzzle. Why do you have to get up early and go to bed late? It's part of the puzzle. If God knows how many hairs is on your head, then obviously He knows where you're going. He knows who you are, and He knows what He wants you to do. You know, people, all I'm trying to say to you tonight is this: don't miss the lad. There's an appointed place. There's an appointed time. Don't miss the lad. Who's the lad? It's every person God brings into your life. He's got a purpose for that. You know, thank you. May you see it. Thank you. May you see it. It's Jonathan. You know, people, look up here and I'm done. I want to tell you, let me just take a couple last statements and I'm going to close this up. What I fear is this, is that you all are being raised in Christian homes. You're taking for granted what God's given you. But that parent that God gave you is not by accident. Hey, I got a question. How come you couldn't be born in Iraq?
Yeah.
Or Iran? Why couldn't you be born into a Muslim home? God chose for you to be born into the home you're born into. Every time your preacher gets up to mount this pulpit, it's God the Father saying that's the unnamed lad to give you direction in your life. Every time. That youth pastor you have, you didn't choose him. Your pastor chose him. Whether you like him or not, he's the lad. That school teacher that you had, that one class that you just grates on you, that's the lad. You can sit in every one of those classes and get upset, criticize, complain, be negative. Or you can say, God's got a purpose for that in my life. Hey! You're just going to throw that piece of the puzzle on out? The full picture has to be put in place by God. That means every person God brings into your life, He's got a purpose for it. Hey, you better watch the lad. You better watch the lad. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Would you think for just a moment? I think there's somebody that's come to your mind. I mean a particular somebody. That you know God's trying to use in your life, and you keep saying, "No, I don't like it, I don't want it." particular place, particular time, particular purpose. Would you not look for that? Would you not listen to that? Father in heaven, I ask you to please bless the invitation. Help us to watch the lens that you bring into our life. Thank you that you care so much about us that you give us direction through people. Help us not to miss that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Young people, you ought to use the altar as God dictates tonight. Maybe it's just saying, God, I need to be more attentive to the lad. Use the altar tonight as God dictates. Watch the lad. Who is it in your life that you're not paying attention to? God brings every person into our life. Every person. Every person. The direction of the lad won't always be appeasing to you, but it'll always be the best thing for you. Because God's the one that sends the lad. God, help us to be more attentive to that land, more obedient to that land.